If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, we're going to spend a little time there this morning and going to look at probably one of the portions of the largest catch of fish recorded in the Bible. You say amen to that? How many have ever gone fishing? How many ever got skunked? You aren't going to admit that anyways. But here we're going to take a look at the disciples going out, doing their job, running into some issues, running into some problems. This week, Leonard Norris sent me some pictures of some large trout that he got. So I'm sure if you wanted to, you could just ask him about that. He'd be glad to show them to you. He's pretty proud of them. But here we're taking a look at a scripture where I believe Jesus can change our lives, change our thoughts, change our attitudes, change the way we approach things, and he begins training his disciples in what's really a calling for each and every one of us. It's a place where he can get a hold of us. In a day and age where the sky is the limit, and that's the day and age that we're living, it really is a time where it's unlimited in what you can accomplish if you know what you're doing, if you get maybe a few breaks and all the things, but opportunity really knocks on many doors, but yet you'd be surprised there are people that will not take any risks. They have not because they ask not. They have not because they do not. They have not because they've never been willing to step out and dare to believe for more than what's in front of them. They don't risk. They're far short of where God wants them to go because they just refuse or are afraid to move to the next portion that God would have. Some people are so afraid to learn from their mistakes. They do the same old thing, the same old way, and then they wonder why they have the same old results. Worse, I think, sometimes is if you not only don't learn from your mistakes, but you never move out of that comfort zone. You never do anything out of the ordinary, or you're never able to just trust God to take you farther than where you've ever been. Never been able to be sensitive to the things that God's telling you. Am I speaking to anybody yet? Would you bow your head with me? Let's open this in prayer. Father, today, I'm asking you, Lord God, that as we hear this word, that we not think, oh, that's the perfect message for somebody else. That's the perfect message for so-and-so. But Lord God, I'm asking that each one of us would really take a look at this portion of Scripture and say, Lord, that was for me. Lord, there's something here that I should be doing that maybe have either I've been afraid to do, or I've been the risk factor has logically not allowed me to go to that next step. But whatever's keeping us from being where you want us to be, Lord God, I'm asking that you would speak to us so that we can move in the right direction, Lord God. May you get honor and glory today. May you anoint your servant and the word of God to bring the message that you've laid on my heart. And Lord God, that you would accomplish all that you want in each one of our lives. Each one of us has value. Each one of us has purpose. Each one of us has a platform in which you want us to speak the word of God. Help us today to know our place and what we need to do. And we ask this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1, reading down to verse 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon asked him, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish, their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. The background here is in this passage is there's a crowd of people that have gathered around Jesus to hear his words. And they've been so crowded in that Jesus feels that he needs to instruct them better. So he pushes off into this boat and moves away from them and looks at them so that they can hear him. He encourages them. He brings a message to them. And then he says to Simon, "Put out into deeper waters and you'll let down your nets for a catch." I want you to know this 13 words here, "put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch," can change your life forever. Can you say amen to that? Those 13 words could change your life forever if you're allowing God to do something into your life that is out of the ordinary, that sometimes doesn't make sense, that sometimes you've tried before and you need to try it again. Those 13 words can change your life. See, there's really two points to this message. There's two points. You're either going to get out of the boat and allow God to do something amazing, go out into the deeper waters and allow God to use you, or you're going to make excuses. You're going to say, "I've tried it a few times and it hasn't worked," and you begin giving God all kinds of reasons why you can't do what he's asking you to do. And this morning I'm asking you, which one are you? See, you have to make a point. You have to choose one of these things. You're either going to be open and sensitive to the things of God, and sometimes when God speaks to you, you're going to have to step out in faith, do what's not logical at times, but you know it's from the Lord, or you're going to make excuses. You're going to find a way to say, "This cannot be me." Jesus' words here were evangelistic. We can't get around that. There's no way that we can say that it's not for everyone, that it's just certain people going out. This message is evangelistic. He says, "Be fishers of men." There's an element of trust. There's an element of obedience because he says, "Go deeper." He's not satisfied with us staying on the shallow water. He's telling us to trust and obey and go deeper. And lastly, there's this element of faith. Because anytime that you're launching out into something that's unknown, something that's different, there is this element of faith that has us afraid at times. And God tells us one step at a time. One step at a time. He gives us each of those steps as we're stepping out into faith and putting these things into our lives. And I know it's hard. There's a hard thing about doing things that are unknown, but there is a benefit there. There is a blessing there. There is the things of the Lord. And Paul Harvey says this, "Too many Christians today are no longer fishers of men, but keepers of the aquarium." Did you get that? Too many people today, they don't consider themselves fishers of men. They're just going to keep the aquarium. They're just going to keep the church going. They're going to keep their small family going. They're going to keep, you know, what's comfortable for them going and not stepping out into faith, not doing the things that God is asking us to do. Howard Hendricks goes farther and he says, "In the midst of a generation screaming for answers, the Christians are stuttering, not bringing the message, not letting people know the good news. And as a church, I'm grateful that as a church we have programs that are trying to go out where people need to hear the message. I'm thankful for a church that has a core of believers that has sacrificed to go into that unknown at times. We've decided that this is our community, that we're called to this community, and that we're not expecting the community to come to us. We've learned that we live in a day and age where we have to go to the community. And now I'm asking, is there ones like Howard Hendricks is saying that we need to stop stuttering sometimes and go into there and do what God has called us to do? There's principles here that we can see that God is speaking to us. See, at the Sea of Galilee here, that's another word for the Lake of Gennesaret, that it's 13 miles long, it's 8 miles wide, there's 9 different little townships, so to speak, around the shore, and there's about 15,000 people that were around there at that time. And Jesus decides that he's going to talk to these people, that he's going to minister to them, and they're pushing him, and they're crowding him, and he begins to do this message, and he stretches out, goes out in the water a little bit. It's really the first sign of a sound system, because he used that water and pushing out as a sound system so that they could hear him. And he's telling them to launch out, put into the deep, do something different, let down your nets for a catch. King James goes on to say, launch out. The less dramatic, the English contemporary version says, row the boat. Now, I like launch better than row the boat, because I sometimes feel like that is our lives. We're rowing the boat, and we're not getting where we need to be. I like that launch out kind of has like a outboard motor kind of a thing to it, because you're going out. And he's telling us that the bottom line is, if we're going to have a catch, if the bottom line is we're going to receive what God has for us, the bottom line is if we're going to get out of the shallow water and get into the deep, there's some things that God wants to do in our lives and through our lives. If you're going to see in this passage that if God's in it, it's unlimited. If God's in it, we're going to see some things happen. There's going to be fish caught if God's in it. There's a blessing to be had if God's in it. If we really had a better view of God and what he wants to do, how many more people would we reach for Christ? Amen? How many more people would we be able to touch? There's an illustration that came out in March of 2010. I remember seeing it, and I have notes, and I went back to it. In 2010, there was this story of fish falling from the sky. I don't know if you ever saw it on the news or not, but in March of 2010, there was a story that came back that a whole town of people that live outside of the desert of Australia said that fish were falling from the sky, some of them frozen. Now, talk about going to the grocery store. They're saying that some of the fish were hitting the ground. They were perch, and they were hitting the ground, flopping around. Some came, they came down like a brick because they were frozen. And some of the scientists are saying, no, that could never happen. But how do you tell a whole town that experience, that they have pictures, they showed it, of these fish dropping down. And then the other scientist said, you know, what has happened is that miles away, a big whirlpool kind of a tornado type thing took over water and sucked these fish up and dropped them hundreds of miles away outside of the desert of Australia. Why do we find that hard to believe that God could do something like that, or that it's impossible? I mean, we read about God providing manna for all of Israel. We read about God providing quail for them for a season. We read about that a widow, that Elijah goes to her and says, you know what, go get all the jugs empty jugs from everybody that you know, and he began filling those jugs with oil till they ran out of jugs. And we have a hard time believing that God wants to do something in our lives. We have a hard time believing that God wants to use us. God used and put a coin in a fish's mouth to pay the taxes for Jesus and one of the collectors. And yet we have a problem. Why do we have a hard time believing that God is God? Anybody out there? Why do we have a hard time believing that God is God? Why do we struggle with believing that the God of the universe can do whatever he wants to do and doesn't go by our logics? And doesn't need our approval. He doesn't need to see if you know, it's going to be okay with people and if it's going to be logically all right. And see, when you look at this, Jesus was already in this crowd. He's already teaching them. He's already talking with authority. They're already getting the point of who he is. They're amazed with the power of his words. And they're crowding him. They're pushing him. They're wanting more. They decide that Jesus decides that he's going to make this a teaching moment. Pushes off. And begins to give not only the people that were crowding him a lesson, but giving the disciples a lesson. See, when you look at this, and you see Jesus taking one of the boats that happened to be Simon Peter's. It's just a coincidence. You'll laugh because around here we don't believe in coincidences. Jesus grabs Peter's boat and says, "Launch out." And begins doing some things, and then you realize all the time that Jesus is talking to this crowd that, oh yeah, there on the shore is all the fishermen that got skunked. And they're out there cleaning their nets, licking their wounds, and doing all these other things that they have to do from one day to the next. And Jesus comes over to them and tells them to cast out again. And I can just picture this, you know, watch this. He says, put out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a catch. And they didn't get it. So you got to remember the two points here. You either launch out into the deep, you either go that extra mile with the Lord, you allow him to do some special things in your life, which is scary at times, or you begin to make excuses. Verse 5. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down my nets. Now, I don't know. It's one of those that you can read between the lines, can't you? You sit here and you think, what was probably on the mind of Peter, Simon Peter here? He's going, Jesus, in his mind, because he's not going to approach Jesus with that attitude, but I can picture him thinking this. Jesus, we're professional fishermen, and we've caught nothing. You're just a preacher. We do this for a living, Jesus. We're cleaning our nets so tomorrow we can get a fresh start. And if you tell us to throw the net out again, we're going to have to start all over. We're going to have to clean it again. We're already embarrassed, Jesus, because we're professionals and we got nothing. But because you say so, I will let down my nets. Jesus the Nazarene, and I love saying that. Let me say it again. Jesus the Nazarene is telling them that they need to unpack what they've already packed so that they can get what he has for them. Do you get that? Do you understand that? You don't miss that. He's telling them to what you've unpacked, you need to, or what you packed, you need to unpack so you can receive what I'm going to give you, because I'm telling you there's a catch. I know you didn't catch anything, Peter. I watched you, professional. But I want you to see something, Peter. I know you didn't catch anything, but how about now if I get involved? How about if I start seeing what's going on here? Verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, so they signaled their partner in the other boat to come over and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When are we going to get that little is much? When are we going to understand that if God tells us to do something, that He's in it? It may not go as quick as we want. It may not go the way that we want it. But if God gives us a direction, then He's going to give us the solution. If God gives you an assignment, He's going to give you the strength. Do you get it? Do you really get this? God told the fish to go in the net. We can't comprehend. That don't make sense. I've been skunk fishing, asking the fish to go to the hook. But Jesus told them to throw the net out and then told the fish to get in the net. They didn't have to do anything. Just be obedient. Throw the net out on the side of your boat. And how about you leave the rest up to me? I said there would be fish. See, I'm not talking about organized religion here, and I'm not talking about, you know, just for the sake of doing so. I'm saying because if the Lord told you, or the Lord is in it, or there's a promise in the Word of God, or as a church we're reaching out into the community, if God is in it, then He will provide in His timing, because it's all about a relationship and not a religion. It's all about faithfulness and obedience so that we can receive God's blessing. See, it took faith. And I realize this. I'm no different than anybody else. It takes faith to go out and do the same thing that you've done before and didn't see a result. And God says to Peter, do it again. I know you got skunked. I know you didn't get anything. I know you tried many different ways tonight to do this, but in no result. But I'm telling you, go to the same spot and do what I've told you and watch that there's going to be a different result. Sometimes we need to undo what we've done so God can do what He needs to do. You can quote me on that. That's a pretty good one. Lord just gave me that just now. That's how good He is. We need to unpack that and receive that. And sometimes we need to undo that. Because we think we have it all figured out. It took obedience. They operated on the fact that Jesus said it. Sometimes that's what we have to do. We do it for no other reason but that Jesus said it. If a non-fisherman would have asked Peter to throw out his net again, what would he have said? If it wasn't Jesus, what would he have said? An amateur fisherman like me saying, hey, to a professional, yeah, let me tell you how to fish. You need to do all of this and buy this and do this. They're not going to buy it. It took obedience to Christ. Sometimes the blessing is in our obedience. Someone needs to grab that this morning. That's for somebody or a bunch of somebodies. We need to grab on to that because our blessings come in our obedience. And it took trust. Trust is what makes us and allows us to do the unknown so that we can get a determined outcome. If God said it, that's going to be the determined outcome. If God is in it, will we have to be patient at times to be able to receive it. And I want you to know God understands disappointments and God understands discouragement. That's for somebody this morning. Those guys were disappointed. Those guys were discouraged. They had been out all night. This is their livelihood. And they came back with nothing. Realize this morning. Sometimes we don't have all the answers. Sometimes we don't have all the answers. Simon Peter, even though he was a professional fisherman, didn't have all the answers. That professional fisherman was told by Jesus how to get his job done on his boat. I wonder how much anxiety, how much nerve that he had because he was trying to process this. But when it stuck and when it sunk in, who he was talking to, what Jesus told him to do, and then he did it and see the result that he saw, that's when in verse 8, Simon Peter saw this. He fell on Jesus's, or fell at Jesus's feet and said, "Go away from me. I'm a sinful man." Anybody ever been there? Those times that God is telling you and showing you stuff, and you finally, after so many lessons, learn that, you know what, I am going to trust and obey. I am going to step out. And then you realize that God was in it and he accomplished it, and you realize your attitude or your lack of obedience or your lack of trust or your lack of faith, and it drops you to your knees. And you say, "God, why do you even bother with me? I'm a sinful person that just don't listen sometimes." And God just wraps his arms around you. And he hugs us and he tells us, "Get out in the deep. Get out in the deep. That's where the new mission is. That's where things are happening. That is where I'm going to be able to show you these things." God does great things in the deep. God does great things when we're in over our heads. God does great things when your toe can't touch the bottom and you're swimming for your life. God can do amazing things and gets our attentions. And I think of Peter later on in the times where you know he was instructed by Jesus. He goes to Jesus, "Can I get off this boat?" Jesus is off in the water, and Jesus tells him to get out, and he begins walking on the water. I don't think he could have done that if he wouldn't have had this experience. Because he had to get out of the boat. He had to launch out. He had to trust God. And we see through this that Peter was walking on water as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. Peter had never, at any state, could he walk on water on his own. And as soon as he started faltering and looking away, he began to sink. This is the same God that will keep us from drownings. You say amen to that? We sing the song Oceans, and I believe we're closing with it. But, you know, I look at that. He's the God above the water as the God under the water. Do you get that this morning? He is the God that wants to keep us from drowning and yet tells us that things are happening in the deep. Peter, you have a new mission. Your mission is to go reach people. Your mission, Peter, is bigger than you. And you're going to touch lives, to spread the gospel. And I want to tell you this morning, all of us who name Christ as Lord and Savior are called to that ministry. See, we're not all called to be preachers, and we're not all called to be teachers, but we are all called to be ministers of the gospel, to share the good news to those that we come in contact with. And he tells Peter in verse 10, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." And it's that scripture ends by they dropped what they were doing and followed him. Matthew 4:19 says, "Come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people." Matthew 28:19, for those that don't feel qualified to share the good news of the gospel, he tells each and every one of us, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of time." See, the metaphor of fishing is about gathering people for Christ. Say amen to that. It's not new. It is a part of the good news to go out, to be active, to share your story, your testimony, your experiences. And he says, do not fear. And this in the Greek, this part where it says do not fear is the same Greek meaning as when he was talking to Joseph and Mary, and as he was talking to Zechariah and Mary. And the same do not fear is the same that he talked to the shepherds. And it's about, I'm doing something new. You need to launch out. You need to trust me. It's a divine intervention. It's a divine manifestation to launch out into the deep and to see what God has. Some of us wonder if we'll make a difference. You will make a difference. Anybody out there? God wants to bless you. I'm closing. God wants to bless you. God wants to see you do some amazing things. The same way that he reached out to Simon and said, launch out into the deep, is the same thing he wants for us. Put down your nets. The deep is where there's going to be fish. The deep is where you're going to make an impact. You won't find many fish in the shallow waters because everybody fishes there. But launch out into the deep. Move away from the comfort zone and get where there is fish. I can't help but believe God wants to bless our wildest dreams sometimes when we're doing what God has called us to do. He did it for Simon. He was astonished at the catch of the fish and all of the things that were going on. But it wasn't until Simon got out and went into the deep did he end up with this net-breaking, boat-sinking catch. And sometimes we settle for much less when God has so much more. How many people are deceived today that believe there's no one that they can talk to about Christ? You hear me this morning? That's a deception. There is no one sitting within the sound of my voice that has no one that they can speak to about Jesus. It's a deception. It's a deception to feel that it's the job of someone else more qualified. I put this on Facebook early this morning, and it's my heart. And I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up, but it's my heart this morning as a church living in these tough times. I put it this way. As a church living in tough times of people not wanting to hear the word of God because they know they are living against the things of God, to think that it is someone else's job is to rob the people that God brings in our path to hear the good news. Do you hear me this morning? In a time and an age when the world is saying, I don't need God because I'm doing things that displease God, it's deception to think that it's somebody else's job to speak to them about Christ because God has brought them within our comfort, within our path, within our workplace, within our schools, within everything that we do. He brings them in. We have to let people know that God loves them. We have to make a difference. What difference will we make in this town if the whole church was on fire for God and wanted to make an impact? How many people would we reach? How many families would receive a blessing? And I'm closing. I'm asking you this morning, In the power of the Holy Ghost, to be praying that God would use you and bring people within your path. Whether that would be to share your testimony. Some of you have great testimonies of what God has already done in your life. Share it. Those that have come through cancer, share it. Those that have gone through to hardships and come out on the other side, share it. Share what God has done. Share the good news. Share the hope that is within you. What keeps you up? What satisfies you? What allows you to go on during the day when you know that, you know, these times, these days are so tough, you think, God, take me home. what keeps you going, the hope that's within you. That is what people need to hear. Seeing everyday people changed by the power of God so that they know that everyday people can be changed by the power of God. You with me? We've got to make an impact. We've got to stop thinking that we don't have the right words, or what if they stump me? What if they do? Then say, hey, let's go together and find the answer to that. Let's not just get in our cars on a Sunday morning and drive to church. Let's see who else we could invite. Who else can we get involved with? Instead of just going on into a restaurant on a meal, how about trying to get involved with that waitress and find out and be a friend? Granted, you're not going to stand up there, bring out your Bible and say, turn with me to John chapter. You're not going to do that. But you can share. You can be pleasant. Remember, tip your waitress. Because if you're a Christian, they'll remember that. We can make an impact. God wants us to make an impact. By choice, people of faith need to be sharing their faith. Amen? Father, we come this morning and it's for each and every one of us. And I realize, Lord, some just cringe at the thought of having to share their faith. But Lord God, you've called us to share our faith. You've told us not to be afraid. You told us that you would be with us. You told us that we would be able to make an impact. And those times that we get stumped, Lord God, we just need to be honest with them and dig in together to find an answer. There's so many around us that need to hear the good news. There are so many around us that are drowning, just waiting for somebody to throw them a life preserver. May we be that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.